You are listening to the ICW Safety Sound Off audio series.
Welcome to ICW Group's Safety Sound Off. My name is Rob Nices. I'm the regional manager for ICW's risk management team. And today joining me is Leslie Stahl.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me on today.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for joining us, Leslie. Why don't you share with our listeners what your title is and what you do?
Well, so I have two titles at ICW Group. I'm a risk management consultant, so I go out and I meet our customers, but I'm also a technical specialist with a specialty in machine safety and machine guarding.
Oh, that's great. Well, I think that's an interesting topic that a lot of people are curious about. I'm going to start with just sort of a basic question, and I know this may sound a little funny, but I'm going to ask it. When you talk about machine guarding, does my ceiling fan at home need to be guarded?
That is an interesting question. Well, first of all, since you have a house, OSHA's not going to come into it. But with that being said, people can still get hurt, whether it be at a house or at a manufacturing plant or any place. So why aren't our ceiling fans guarded? It is a rotating part. I could stick my hand in it. So when we look at moving parts, what OSHA gives us a guideline is a 7-foot rule. So if the piece is moving, but it's 7 feet above the working surface, then they don't have to apply any sort of guard around it. So you may have seen, if you've gone through a few plants lately, that they'll have these giant fans that are vertical. And so part of the blade may be below that 7-foot level, and part of the blade is above the 7-foot level. So they don't have to guard the whole fan, but they will put a small guard around the bottom of the fan. So that's why you'll see guarding on all of the floor fans, like the pedestal fans that you see just moving an air around, but you don't see them on the ceiling fans because they're high enough in the ceiling that nobody would normally be able to touch them. But I have to say, one thing that I did see, it was probably about a year ago or so, is one of my plants built a platform. And they wanted to have their operators at a different level to operate the machine. And when they put this platform in, and it was an old building in Chicago without really tall ceilings, they actually raised their operator up high enough that they had to put a guard over their fan because this was now closer than 7 feet to the operator. And it was easy to put the guard on so they didn't have to relocate the fan. They just simply protected it. But it was something that they had to think about after the fact because they created a hazard by adding this platform, which was ultimately supposed to remove a hazard of awkward motions and awkward stretching.
Wow, that's interesting. So, I mean, I don't think probably people realize, hey, when you change where you're working, that could change what you need to guard.
Exactly. And we don't really think of a fan as a machine, but it could hurt somebody just as much. I mean, I know if you've ever gone to an antique store, you've probably seen some of those really old fans with the 3-inch gaps in the blades. And nowadays, you can't go to a store and find guards on fans that are that large. I mean, try to stick your finger into a fan blade now, and it's going to be rather impossible because of the size of the guarding that's on fans now.
So things do change. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let me ask you a question about something. When you talk about guarding, one of the things that I've heard about and I've seen is light curtains on certain machines. You know, I think most of our listeners probably know what a light curtain is, but could you talk just a little bit about that and what's your opinion on them? Do you think they work?
I think that they do work if they are set up to work properly. That's the problem with light curtains, is they're this really fancy system that we can put in place on our machines to stop it when we accidentally cross a barrier. But if those light curtains aren't set up in the exact way that they're supposed to be set up, they may not stop the machine in time. And that hand might actually be able to reach the point of operation or the danger zone before the machine stops. So there is a lot of technical programming that goes into light curtains. And one thing that I always recommend if I'm going to suggest a light curtain is that my company buy it from a manufacturer or a distributor that will provide some sort of installation, or they find a contractor that is specializing in machine guarding or light curtain installation, because we have to think about a bunch of different stuff when it comes to light curtains. And one of the most important is placement. you can't just put a light curtain on the front of the machine and assume that everything's okay. You have to think about the distance that front of the machine is from the point of operation. Do math calculations, figure out how fast that machine's motor stops, how fast everything stops moving inside the machine when the light curtain stops the power, and then know where to mount that curtain. So it's quite a complex operation. In some cases, it can even require you to have specialty equipment. And those are things that only the professional installation companies would have. So when I hear that someone's just going to go on to into a catalog, pick out a light curtain and have it shipped to them, it does make me worry a little bit, because I don't know that every maintenance employee actually understands the complexity of installing the curtain. Now, don't get me wrong, there are directions with most light curtains, but that requires you to actually read the directions when you're mounting them.
That's funny. Yeah. Well, you know, some of us have trouble with that. So I can see where that could be an issue. But I think it's really interesting when you talk about the complexity of it, because I guess it never really crossed my mind that, you know, if you've got a full revolution machine, whatever that may be, and, you know, you put up your light curtain, when your hand, you know, goes through that plane or whatever body part of that light, that there has to be there's a time for that to stop. And that distance has to be shorter than the time frame that you would to get to the exposure area.
Exactly. And, you know, in fact, way back, I wish I could think of the year, but way, way back, there were some studies done about how fast someone could move their hand. And they were actually, the studies were good. Of course, as we progress in time, studies always get better and better and better. And there are new facts out there that say that hands actually move faster than we originally thought they did. And so those OSHA calculations in the OSHA books aren't always 100% accurate. So you can't even just go by the book. I say that in quotes, because extra thought does need to get put in. If I have got a champion tennis player running my machine, his hand speed's going to be pretty fast. So even little things like that could affect whether that particular individual is able to reach that point of operation. And I know that's a kind of a weird example, but it is an extreme example that I like to give, because you just never know. Everyone's so different.
Absolutely. You're right. Every individual is different. And so you have to, do you kind of just have to take what you think the average person would be when you're making those calculations, or do you do the most extreme, or what's your guidance on that?
So I still tell people to just go by what the OSHA rule book says, what the OSHA standard says, that gives you some guidelines, because that's what the world goes by, or I shouldn't say the world, the United States goes by. OSHA has standards set up for it. So if we just follow those, really, you're going to be safe. But the American National Standards Institute, they do more research than OSHA does, and they have much more modern statistics that you can look up to figure out what they're suggesting nowadays. But by the standard, if you were going to get a citation from OSHA, you're safe as long as you're within compliance with what their standard says.
Fantastic. Leslie, when you talk about light curtains, the question always became, or machine guarding, let's say I've got a bandsaw. And I need to cut wood with it, and I'm told I have to put a guard on it. How do I make that work?
Well, if this is what you're doing in your garage on the weekends, then I really can't tell you that you have to put a guard on it, since it's your personal time, although it'd be smart. But if you're at work, your employer has a responsibility for providing you with safe equipment. And the employer has the responsibility to provide their employees with safe equipment. So when I hand you a saw blade, or attached to a machine, and I tell you to cut wood, and the piece of wood is, let's say, a quarter inch thick, and your saw blade is 3 inches long, that gives you 2 3/4 worth of blade that is completely exposed to cut something besides the wood. So as I run that small piece of wood through, I have a lot of room for error. It's somewhat similar, like I wouldn't take you out for a steak dinner and hand you a samurai sword to cut your steak up, because that's a lot of exposed blade, and who knows what's going to happen with that rest of that blade. So what we like to see is these adjustable blade guards that go over the blade, and you can lift them up and put them down manually as you get different size stock.
That's a really great suggestion and a good example. I think the samurai sword is pretty clear in everyone's mind right now. But,
Fruit Ninja, well, you know, it sounds like a fun idea, but I'm not sure.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Leslie. I appreciate you joining us for Safety Sound Off today, and we appreciate the information you've shared.
Great. You can have me back anytime. I really had a great time.
And we will do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Join us next time on our next Safety Sound Off audio series as we enhance our lives, protect our health, and help each other create a culture of safety.